We've been talking about the law of confession. You know, the words that we speak every day out of our mouth shape our lives. If I can convey one thing over to you, you need to learn how to talk right. Because saying what you don't want gets you more of what you don't want. You might as well confess what God says about you. Now, I'm going to go through some things this morning, and I'm just going to believe the Lord is going to turn it upside down for you. Amen. The word confess means to declare one's beliefs, to cause or allow something to be seen. See, as a result of your confession, something should be seen. Confession is supposed to have a designed result. You're not supposed to confess for the rest of your life and nothing changes. Something wrong with your confessing. It means to acknowledge or to make known unto others. So we see that God always said what he wanted and not what he was looking at. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Just going to carry right on back to some basic stuff. Look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. God always said what he wanted and not what he was looking at. And as long as you say what you're looking at, that's all you can have. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the earth was not looking so pretty. It had an issue. Now suppose God had stepped out and said, oh, it's dark out there. It's looking mean and nasty. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. How am I supposed to use that? No, God had hope. Hope is the image. God had the image of what he wanted the earth to look like. And the first thing God said, well, we need some light right on here. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Whoa. He's training us how to talk like him. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So he made day and night. Say, God made day and night. That's why I like his standard. I don't like daylight saving time. I like God time. And God called, that's just humor, y'all. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, God's still talking, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. In other words, he separated the sky and the earth. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Look at, and then God said, he says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be. Guess what? Whatever God wanted, that's what he said. Not what he was looking at. He looked at it and said, it needs to be divided. So we're going to call the heaven and the earth divided. And I'll call the upper heaven. And I'll call the bottom the earth. He says, I'm separating it so I can use it better this way. See, God said what he wanted. And until you learn to say what you want, you're going to always keep getting what you have. And if that's not what you want, you need to change what you are saying. Look at Psalms 12, verse 6. Psalms 12, verse 6. When you keep reading Genesis chapter 1, you're going to find that God said a whole lot in there, didn't he? God said a whole lot in Genesis chapter 1. And look at verse 6, Psalms 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. See, God doesn't say senseless words. He doesn't say words that does not benefit. He never says a word that's not going to produce. Because he knows that when he talks, everything is under his command. And it will respond. So he's very careful with his word. The Bible says, one translation says like this, "For every word of God speak is sure and reliable. His truth is tested, found to be flawless and ever faithful. It's as pure as silver refined 7 times in a furnace." So it's all, you know, people said, try Jesus. You had to try Jesus. He already did all of that. You ain't got to do all, you don't have to try. Just do him. Quit trying Jesus. That's what part of your problem. You sing that song, try Jesus. He says, that's not going to work. Too many elements of fear, doubt, and unbelief in trying. I need you to believe. Huh. Stop trying him and just let him be who he is to you. Look at Psalms 33, verse 6 through 9. This is all talking about God's words right here. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." See, he's trying to get us to that place. That when our words have the same power that his words have, everything in your life is going to change. He says, speak what you want. Command. He said, you can even command me. And I hearken unto your voice. He says, command ye me. And I hearken unto your voice. I hear you. You have that power to change things with your words. Look at Psalms 39, verse 1. I'm helping somebody. I know somebody pulling on me this morning. Psalms 39, verses 1 through 3. "I said I would take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue." See, your mouth can cause you to sin because you're going contrary. Whenever you talk against what God said about you, you're sinning. Especially when you know you're saying something wrong. You know how you get in that carnality, that fit of carnality, and you say all that dumb stuff? You know you said something wrong. How many of you go back and fix it? Or you just let it slide around? He says, "I'm going to take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." See, you can't let your hair down when you're talking to around sinners. Some of y'all, you know, you just as loose as a goose. You say all your business. And then you cannot witness to them. They know too much of your weaknesses. They don't hear nothing about your Jesus because in their eyes, your Jesus is weak. You've complained and complained and complained, and you've talked about your life so much to the sinner. They don't want to hear your Jesus because Jesus have done nothing for you in their eyes. And then you try to roll around and say, well, you know, the Lord, when in your happy day, you know, when you got a happy moment, then you want to preach to somebody. They don't want to hear you. You got to find a new client to talk to. And you ruined that with your own words. Because had you not shared so much of your life to a sinner, they would have never known you had problems. And when God brought you through it, they said, I can see that. I can see that God is good. Y'all got to stop sharing so much of you. I know Instagram might be free. I know Facebook and all that stuff. But you got to stop sharing every little event in your life. Y'all some silly people. I'm just sorry. I'm not getting up there telling nobody, I did this today. Oh, did you see that? And there's so much drama in it. How you going to have faith? And most of your drama is lying. You're trying to get hits and likes. So you got to lie to get them. It's crazy. And then when you go to God, you come trying to figure out, well, why this not working for me? I'm saying all the right stuff. Why not working? If I had my way, I would take down a whole lot of y'all pages. And put up there insufficient funds. You ain't got enough spiritual nothing to talk this stuff you talking. You just quoting what somebody else said. Just so you could be liked. Don't you like yourself? Isn't that enough? He says in verse 2, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good. He said, now my sorrow was stirred. He said, I was about to bust, but I didn't say nothing in front of the sinner. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. He said, I was leaking. I was letting it out. And then I caught myself. You see where he said, I caught myself. He's because I'm in the presence of sinners. Proverbs 13, verse 3. This has all got to do with your confessing. Because if you don't check your mouth, your confessing this word is not any benefit to you. You got to check what you say every day. He that keepeth, Proverbs 13, verse 3. Come on, turn that page, y'all. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Woo, Jesus. Says if you don't control your mouth, you're going to ruin everything. That man of mine's, every time I turn around, he doing something dumb. He done made another dumb decision. Well, you were dumb. You married him. Which one of them dumb decisions was yours and his? You married him. Take him as he is. You should have figured that out before you got married. That he was dumb. So why start calling him dumb now? See how stupid that is? When people try to tell you he was dumb, you wouldn't listen to him. And then you got to live with that dumbness. Now, you say, well, can it change? Yeah, but you can't say it with, you can't keep calling him dumb. You can't keep calling her dumb and think she's going to change. You got to get a new word in your mouth. That's the only way it's going to help it. Ooh. So you better guard your words because you're getting in your house what you keep confessing. Proverbs 16:23. I'm going to walk y'all through this morning. Proverbs 16:23 through 25. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. See, people that are wise, the first thing they do is train their mouth to say what's right. And addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And one of that is talking incorrectly. That leads to death. It could be death in your body, death in your finances, death in a relationship. It creates so much division because you won't talk right. You won't talk healthy things. He says pleasant words are healthy words. What's wrong with encouraging one another? You walk up behind your spouse and just lay your hands on them and say, baby, say, I so appreciate you. See, you're building and strengthening one another. That's a good confession. So you think confessing is, thus said the Lord, and this and this and this and this. No, you got to confess in everything you do. Confession is a lifestyle. It's how you live in everything. I'm acknowledging God in everything. Acknowledge him in all of thy ways. What does the word say? And he'll direct your path. He'll lead you right into prosperity in your relationships, in your money, in your body. He'll lead you right on into it. He'll direct your path. Will you acknowledge him in everything? I confess him in everything. Proverbs 4:24. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. In other words, it's saying, don't say something that is not truthful. In other words, don't bend the truth and exaggerate because you're lying. Say, I'm lying when I exaggerate. I caught a fish this big. And you know you caught one this size. He said, that's lying, because you're bending the truth to make yourself look good. It says, don't bend the truth or say things that you know are not right. Well, I'm telling you, that's a part of your confession, because this is going to affect when you start speaking the word. Your tongue got to be, you got to teach your tongue to say what's right. Turn over to Proverbs 15, verse 2. I know. You said, does she run out of scriptures? No. And when we finish these, I got some more. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Woo, geez, let me read that out of another translation. It reads like this. Listening to wise people increases your knowledge, but only nonsense comes from the mouths of fools. The Lord sees what happens everywhere. He watches everyone, good and evil. Kind words are like a life-giving tree, but lying words will crush your spirit. Now we're going down to that deep level. We're going down to the spirit, because your words are affecting your spirit. And a lot of people are sick, and they're unhealthy spiritually and naturally because of what they've said over time. I mean, you got people right now planning for flu in September, and they're getting all their meds and stuff prepped. We're not even in September. We're in July. But they're expecting to have the flu or a cold or a sinus problem. Because they say that every year, about this time, I get hay fever. So every year, about this time, you get hay fever. Yeah, I told you I was going to get it. Yeah, you said it. And you keep right on confessing it, you're going to get it again next year. And we're going to watch you walk around holding a church, aren't you? We're going to watch you blow your nose till you look like you Rudolph the Red Nose. Because you're saying that. Why can't you say, you know what? I'm going to build my immune system up the next year. I won't have hay fever. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to do something that will cause this. I'm going to find out what I can do to protect myself so I never have hay fever again. Because it is correctable. I don't care what they say. We got a God that know how to heal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 23. Are you learning? See, these are the things we like to bypass, but you can't when you're dealing with God, because you got to clean up your act before you can say some things that God says right for you to have. Because it's okay. God wants you to have those things. But we got to find out what we're doing wrong so we can fix it. From a wise heart flow careful words. I'm reading from the Voice translation. Wise words make the lips more persuasive. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. They drip sweet food for life and bring health to the body. But before every person lies a road that seems to be right. But at the end of that road, death and destruction wait. So everybody got a path that they're taking. And your words are carrying you down the path. You're choosing your life by your words. I can recall when my husband and I, we couldn't pay attention. He often said that. I mean, we were broke. But when we learned about tithing and giving, we decided we were never going to stop tithing and giving. And it looked like there were times we didn't even have food to feed ourselves. All we could buy was a 50-pound bag of white potatoes. We ate white potatoes almost every single day. But you know what? It was not a drudgery. I didn't feel like God had abandoned me or forsaken me. I had to fix my words to align them with God. I'm a tither and a giver now. I got rights and privileges. And I got expectation of God bringing me out of this. And there were times when, we had $125 a month to feed six people. You go figure. That was all that was in the budget. I'm telling you what I know. And I would pray over that money and go to the store, and the angels would have left stuff just for me. Couldn't nobody pick it up, waiting on me. A whole package of chicken leg, $3 and some change. See, God was increasing me without me even being aware of being increased, but I was thankful. I would get back on my husband and say, who gave you all that stuff? I said, the Lord did this. I never took the credit. And I watched God maneuver. See, this is why y'all folks need to learn how to cook. See, I never bought canned goods. Do your thing. Don't shoot no bullets at me. I'm not a canned good person. I buy them sometimes, but in my cabinet, you're not going to find a bunch of canned foods. You might find tomatoes. But I began to just watch God move in the little things. Say the little things. God began to manifest. Why? Because my words were lining up with what I said God could do. I began to say, you know what? And I began to sing all throughout the house every day. I would get up and I would sing to my children. And they didn't know what I was doing, but I was making melody in my heart for God's provision. And you look at it and say, well, it don't look like God provided much. Might not have been much to you, but God was providing. None of us went hungry. And I went out begging, and I didn't have to call no relative to come feed me. I trusted God. See, we got in there, we trusted God. See, these words, your words got to be, when you're talking about confessing, God looking for your words to line up with what he said, not what you feel. I felt a whole lot of stuff, but it didn't make sense to say it because it was going to be against what God was doing in my life. Look at Proverbs 18. See, this was one of my scriptures. I'm going to be filled with what I say. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. See, we're going to be filled because God is satisfying us. This table is full of food. And there were times we had, you know, they said stricken lean, stricken fat, more fat than lean. And you had that and some potatoes. And I could make biscuits. Always had flour, staple. So we had bread, potatoes, and stricken lean, stricken fat. But what? We were eating. And we taught our children not to complain. They didn't care. They were eating. They didn't care if it was for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They ate. See, your problem, you won't feel amen young, but your lifestyle warrants baloney with the red skin and the red dye. See, we got to learn to build our faith. This is why when you go to the Word, you're supposed to build yourself, not read just. Now, we're in this reading. I'm not talking about what we're doing now. But as your individual prayer time, you're supposed to be building and maturing yourself in the things of God. That means I'm going to say what God says about me. Amen. One translation says, your words can be as satisfying as fruit, as pleasing as a food that fills your stomach. Hey, hallelujah. The tongue can speak words that bring life or death. Those who love to talk must be ready to accept what it brings. Put your money where your mouth is. So if you're willing to say it, be willing to have it. If you're willing to say you broke, be willing to be broke. If you're willing to say you're sick, be willing to be sick. You should not complain when sickness knock on your door. Ain't no need to call on God. You need to confess. You need to change what you're saying. It's already in the word. You're going to get what you say. Look at Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Say, this was deliberate. See, Jesus had a time of testing too. So don't think Jesus was never without testing or he had some extraordinary power to overcome. No, he used the same authority he gave us to overcome the enemy. And when he had fasted, well, that's a new technique for most Christians today. And when he had fasted, that might help a lot, because then your thinking will come online. 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter, who's the tempter? The devil, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Now see, why is he tempting him with that? Because Jesus can be tempted with that, just like you. He'll come and ask you, aren't you the Son of God? Aren't you a child of God? Well, then why you got this situation going? I thought you were saved. You ever had a sinner say that to you? I thought you were saved. Are they tempting you? That's what the devil was trying to do to Jesus. He said, if you're really the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But how did Jesus respond? Jesus answered and said, see, Jesus talking, say, Jesus talking. And he's talking to his enemy. He's talking to his enemy. He's talking to his enemy. He's in the presence of his enemy. He's saying what he needs to say to his enemy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. One translation says, starting with verse 3, the devil came to tempt him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread. If God's so good to you, then why are you still living like that? Why you don't have all your needs met if God's so good to you? See, the devil tempt you. He tempted Jesus. He's trying to get you to say something contrary to what the word has already said about you. He's trying to get you to agree. Say agree. So you'll never get out of the hole. Jesus answered him, the scriptures say. See, look, the scriptures say, it is not just bread that keeps people alive. Their lives depend on what God says. Oh, I like that one. When your life depends on what God says, Jesus couldn't be tricked and neither will you. Because you understand that's the devil trying to draw you out from your position of faith so you can begin to agree with his destruction. Matthew 10, verse 27. Y'all got enough ammunition that y'all could go home and really fight. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, preach it from the housetop. So in other words, he says, when I give you something by revelation, speak it. Now you can demand it and command it. That's what he's saying here. What I give you in the darkness of, is not talking about darkness like you think of the darkness. He's talking about in the daylight or early morning time. When I'm talking to you, this is why you got to learn how to get up out of the bed sooner than you've been getting up, because God wants to talk to you. He says, I'll give you a revelation how to overcome. And it's not about how your body feels. You're not going to ever want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Nobody does. But when you know God is waiting on you, because he wants to reveal something to you, so you can go and declare it and speak it and call it forth, you better get your hips up and go spend some time with him. Because he wants to reveal something to you. Watch this. And he said, what you hear in the ear, he says, I want you to shout it or preach it from the housetop. And fear not them which kill the body. Don't be afraid what people think or say, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the one you better be concerned about. Am I pleasing God with what I say and think? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father knowing? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more valued than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So don't be looking for Jesus for no pity when you are denying God. He says, so don't be afraid, one translation. You are worth more than a whole flock of birds. If you stand before others and are willing to say you believe in me, then I will tell my Father in heaven that you belong to me. But if you stand before others and say you do not believe in me, then I will tell my Father in heaven that you don't belong to me. See, it's all start with words. All started with the way we talk. Are you seeing that? I'm getting ready to close. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 11 through 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness. Follow after God's way of doing everything. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. Follow after love. Follow after patience. Follow after meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good confession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witness a good confession. He says Jesus kept a good confession even before Pontius Pilate. He didn't change what he said about his Father. They couldn't make him back down and change what he knew to be right. And one of the things that we're still learning is that as you begin to confess, and we're going to keep going deeper and deeper in this because we want to correct some of the mistakes that we've made over time in our confessions and things like that, because sometimes we give up on them because we don't understand the dynamics of them. Now, let me tell you something. While you're healthy, you need to have a confession about health. You shouldn't wait until you get sick to start quoting healing scriptures. You're behind the eight ball now. When you're in front of it, do something about it. Put it in your mouth. That's a lifestyle of saying what God said about your money, about your house, about your body, about your relationships. This is why Pastor Diana has affirmations. It keeps the word in my mouth consistently. And I should say, I had y'all saying it for a long time. You ever wonder why I stopped saying, I am changing every day? Because y'all weren't interested. So I just said it to myself. I don't need y'all to believe it. I typed it up and gave it to y'all. How many of y'all still have yours? I've given you almost every affirmation I've ever written. How many of y'all still have them? See, that's on purpose. So I leave nothing out. Don't come to me after church and ask for it. I'll let the Lord speak to me about that again. See, it's time to grow up. Things are provided, but you're not taking advantage of them. And then when it's given to you, because it's not important to you at that moment, you throw it away. You lose it. And then your time of need, you're calling everybody. And you can't remember one scripture. When I gave you a whole sheet of God's word that you could put in your mouth and begin to change the dynamics in your house. Now I'm going to share this with you. Recently, I had some work done to my AC unit. Well, you know, I had several companies to come and look at it, and they kept trying to get me to convince me to change my downstairs unit. I said, well, that unit not even but four and a half, it's not even over four years old yet. I'm not changing that unit. Well, they kept saying something, but actually, unbeknownst to me, they knew it. Say they knew it. That's why you got to have discernment. That a cat had gotten underneath of my house. Y'all remember that cat I was talking about? He lives no more. Not my fault, and I'm not saying that to be gloating, because I didn't like the fact the way the cat had to die. But it was not my fault. We kept trying to get him from underneath the house. Even the AC guy shooed him away, and he got back under. He had a point of entrance, and they sealed it up, not knowing he was under the house. But in the meantime, he shreds my ductwork, trying to live. And you know, it's been hot, right? I had to have an American hero called Minister Joe Barnes, because the AC guy would not go in and fix my ductwork unless the cat removed. Because he's not going to handle it. Joe said, I do this all the time in my job. Thank God for my son, Joe. Oh, Jesus. But what they didn't tell me, it was my upstairs unit that had actually gone out. So even though my one downstairs was working, but see, this is where you got to have discernment, and God will preserve you, even when you don't know what they know. I'm telling you, because see, I confess that my things last longer than anybody's out in my neighborhood. I said, my stuff run longer. But my unit upstairs, it was old. Somebody had put it in that we knew, and I ain't going to call no names because, you know, we might have to pray for the sick and raise the dead. But anyway, they had put a unit in some years ago. That unit had gone out. Why am I telling you this? Because God provided. You know, this is why, if you listen to me, sometimes I know I'm country. And I talk country. Do I care? If you don't care, I don't care. And if you don't, if you do care, I still don't care. I'm going to talk country. This is the way I was raised. I know how to talk English when it's time. My children said, Mama, put on that other color voice when you're on the phone. Because they said, Mama, that was you on the phone. I was a secretary for 20 years. I learned some things. But I'm country by heart. But at any rate, the Lord had provided. Because when I tell you to start putting money aside, you should do it. Amen. You know why? Because I had it in the house. And they replaced the upstairs unit and fixed my ductwork. And I got AC. I was so cold last night. I'm going like, thank you, Jesus. I can use my blanket. See, the God will preserve you when you talk right. And he will send people into your life that will do exactly what you need them to do without charging you extravagantly. People are charging nowadays just because they can. It don't have nothing to do with a shortage. They wanted $12,000 just for the ductwork. I'm not paying you that. I know I might look a little old, but not like that. Don't even go that way. Mama, not stupid. You're not going to charge me that kind of money. But because they can, they will. And if you don't ask God, see, if I put it in my mouth, I say, Lord, I have your wisdom. And I get up and I pray, I say, Lord, you see this situation. Show me what to do. Give me quick understanding. Give me quick understanding when they're talking to me. And he does it. Because I don't dial him out of anything. I'm acknowledging him in everything in my life. From my refrigerator to my washing machine to my ductwork, I acknowledge God in all my ways. And he directs my path. And he preserves my money because I'm a tither and a giver. And he's not going to let me be robbed by the sinner. Come on, stand to your feet.